This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Polestar. There's only one true way to experience the all-electric luxury SUV Polestar 3, and that's to take a test drive. It can go from 0 to 60 in as little as 4.8 seconds with the dynamic handling of a sports car. But to truly understand how it commands the road, you need to be behind the wheel. Up to 350 miles of range, the 3D surround sound system by Bowers & Wilkins, it's all something you have to experience to believe. So book your test drive for Polestar 3 today at Polestar.com.
Welcome back.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Give me one good reason you're not a nudist.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Well, I would say Little Steve.
Oh, because of your Little Steve. Because of his little TJ.
Earlier on the show, former MLB pitcher Jim Abbott. Coming up, actor Freddie Prinze Jr. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Jim Abbott in hour number two of this program. He's got a film on his legacy. Southpaw, The Life and Legacy of Jim Abbott, that premiered last night on ESPN. It's available for streaming on ESPN Plus. Just had a very nice chat in our green room with Freddie Prinze Jr., who has not been on this show. Remarkably, I thought he had been on the show before, but not. So, I Know What You Did Last Summer, a new installment of the 1997 hit
right.
By the name of I Know What You Did Last Summer, is in theaters nationwide this Friday. Also, TJ, you know, I know you've got No Contest Wrestling that you're recording later on. This man has a wrestling podcast of his own, Wrestling with Freddie. Yeah. And so there'll be lots to talk about with Freddie Prinze Jr. when he strolls out here in less than 20 minutes' time. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I told this man to call into the program when I saw him, not once but twice, right there on hole number, I believe it was... It was a par three, the one with the RV where you could win it.
Oh, is that eight or six or eight?
I think it was seven or four or five, one or the other. I don't know. I played off the front, played off the back. But anyway, Taylor in Red Bluff, California.
Taylor.
Good to see you this weekend, bud.
It was awesome to see you too, man. It was, I think it was hole five.
Hole five, that's what it was.
Hole five, yeah.
That's it. And hey, you know, I mean, yesterday was not good, but the day before... I threw a dart right there on the back of the green. It was all good.
You did.
Thank you, sir.
You had some great shots, man.
Thank you, Taylor. See? Taylor saw some of my flashes of brilliance.
It's in there.
Yeah, it is in there. But you had a good time? It was great, right? Lots of fun?
Oh, yeah. It was a blast. Lots of celebrities, lots of people like you. Really nice to talk to. Joe Buck was awesome. You forget how big a lot of these guys are until you see them, and you're like, wow.
Right.
That's a big guy.
Did you see Kittle? Because I know you're a Niner fan. You saw Kittle?
I did. I got Kittle and Juice to sign my hat, and then I got Kittle to sign my jersey yesterday.
Nice.
I'm telling you, it's so cool for fans and for the players alike. It really is. And you mentioned Juice because Kyle Juszczyk was playing with Kittle on this event as well. So for Niner fans, it was... It was a bonanza, you know, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, dude, it was good. Good to see you. What else is on your mind? Anything?
Well, I was hoping to play the win-loss game Niners.
Let's do it.
I know you guys have had a lot of those calls already.
Let's see. You will be, oh my gosh, yeah.
You'll be the fifth to do this.
All right, let's go. Let's do this for my guy, Taylor, in Red Bluff, California, which is just down the road from Redding, California on I-5. Beautiful North State. All right, at Seattle, what happens, Taylor?
Oh, that's an easy one. We're going up there. We're starting off the season with a dub.
Okay, then at the Saints.
I mean, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Only thing worse than the Saints might be the Steelers. So
wow. I think that's a win. Look at you. 2-0 home for the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray is going to be running for his life now that Bob Sala's back with that defense. So that's going to be a win.
3-0. Did you see the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence out there at the American Central Championship?
I did.
Championship.
I got a picture with him.
So what are you going to do now when they take on the Jaguars in game 4 of the season?
You know, I think, they got Duval, but that's going to be a win for the Niners.
All right. So much for the selfie. All right. 4-0 at the Rams on a Thursday night.
At the Rams, that's going to be a loss down there at Levi's Stadium South. That's probably a Devontae Adams 2-touchdown type of game.
Did you see Devontae Adams? Did you see Devontae Adams out there over the weekend?
I did. I got his Taco Bell order.
He's good. At the Buccaneers, what happens?
Oh, I got the meat baker again, but that's gonna be a win for the Niners.
Yeah, you weren't shotgunning beers with Baker, were you? You didn't do that?
No, I wish, that, man.
Did you see that? He did that as well at the American Century Championship. Home for the Falcons, 4-2. What happens?
That's a win.
5-2 at the Texans.
Ooh, that's gonna be a loss. That's gonna be a tough game, but
All right.
That's gonna be a loss.
5-3 at the Giants.
Definitely a win right there.
6-3 home for the Rams.
We will actually, my dad and I are going to be at that game, so they're definitely going to win that one.
7-3 at the Cardinals.
That's another win. We're going to sweep the Cardinals.
8-3 now home for the Panthers on a Monday night.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a big game for Bryce Young, but it's going to be too little too late. That's a win for the Niners.
9-3, 4 straight wins at the Browns.
Oh, Jake Moody and I still have PTSD from that game last year, and I think that's going to be a random game the Niners are going to lose.
So how about that?
That's a loss.
All right, So coming out of the bye now, 9-4, home for the Titans.
That Titans, we got them. That's a win.
10-4 at the Colts on a Monday night.
That's going to be a win.
11-4, home for the Bears.
You know, I think Ben Johnson's going to have that team going well, and I'm going to give it to him. I think by that part of the season, they're going to have everything figured out, so the Niners are going to drop that one.
All right, so that's a Sunday night loss, then home for the Seahawks. What happens?
That's going to be a great one because, you know, both teams are going to be playing to get into the playoffs. I think the Niners drop that one, too.
Ooh, 2 straight losses to finish 11-6. Taylor in Red Bluff. Hey, it was great seeing you. Thanks for rooting me on at that par 3 where I needed all the help I can get. Thanks, pal.
Hey, thank you. You guys are awesome.
You got it. Right back at
you.
Good,
Taylor.
In Red Bluff, California. I love it. Hey, call in Monday. I will call in Monday, and then he does. That's awesome. That's what we love. Fitz in Dallas. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Fitz?
Hey, now.
Oh, my.
Well, Rich, I felt your pain this weekend. I didn't know you'd be talking about this morning, but had my 30th high school reunion over this last weekend in beautiful Ponca City, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it had been a minute. We always get together and play golf on the Saturday of, and I hadn't played with some guys in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I actually only started golf about 15 years ago. And I've been playing really, really well.
Okay.
So the night before at the welcoming reception, buddy of mine who actually got me interested said, "Hey, let's." He goes, "I can't wait to play with you, man. It's been a couple of years since I've played." And I said, "You know what? I think I'm going to be able to keep up with you. I think it's going to happen."
Oh, Fitz.
First shot off the tee box.
Oh, Fitz.
Topped it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said, "Okay, guy. Hey, we're not playing PGA rules. Just hit another one, Fitz. Come on." Okay, grip and rip it. Topped it again.
That's what happens, Fitz. You know
and
what I mean?
It was all uphill from then. And one other thing, and then I'll let you guys go. I swear that my friend told me and said, "Brandon, I love you, buddy. You just got to let it go, okay?"
Fitz in Dallas, everybody. Hey. Yeah, there's no mulligans at the American Century Championship. FYI. Turzo in Iowa, all rise. What's up, Turzo?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
How are you?
Hey, a couple things before I get to the Niners.
Hey, Dan Patrick was saying that they just dominate.
No, whatever. Now that's not true.
I watched and I did not agree with him on that one.
We got the first game, and the second game I don't know if we only thought about sunburn for why you don't want to be a nudist.
Sunburn and then gum for the gum. The chair for the teacher.
But anyway, yeah, Terzo, that's all right. It's okay. We survived, and we all we did make $5,000 for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So at least there's that.
Well, and I can imagine that it is a little bit of a different situation when you're up there. You know, that's a like TJ being on The Price is Right. It's something that I would always wanted to do, so I'm happy that you guys got to do that.
Yes.
But also, Rich, hey, man, good job going out and playing and doing what you did.
Thanks.
Like, I probably would have been down at the bottom with you as well, too. So, you know, as long as you went out and had fun, it looked like it was a great time.
Big time. Really. It's first grade. It's one of the greatest events of all time, the American Century Championship. Big time. Big time. For sure.
Well, and what you were talking about with the Niners, I really thought that we were going to be able to get through this offseason without having any grumblings from anybody. I was worried about Jennings doing this, but like we heard, you're under contract. I'd like to keep him, but we just got to figure the season.
Something's going to be figured out. I mean, and thanks to Carl Terzo, they're not going to go in anything. This is all July 14th conversation. It's something to put out there. Perhaps. I don't know. You know, again, Schefter reported it, I'm sure he caught wind of it. I don't know from whom. I'd imagine it's from the Jennings side of things. Just to throw it out there. And we'll see how it all plays out. It's still way too early. It's not even close to midnight for that front. Yeah. I mean, the midnight is Trey Smith for the Chiefs, who was franchise tagged on that offensive line. That they need to come to an agreement long term by tomorrow. Otherwise, it's just a 1-year deal for him. Now, that's midnight tonight. The Juwan Jennings thing is not midnight. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So one thing I want to hit, because I saw this over the weekend. Remember when we first came on the air a few years ago and Yasiel Puig was the red hot call up, right? And he had one of the – he crushed May and June. He had like a torrid 6-week stretch, and I thought they should put him on the All-Star team. They didn't, right? Because I'm like, hey, listen – baseball could use all the buzz it can get. I know ratings are up and things of that nature, and I think the rules changes have helped. But right now, I saw all over the weekend, some of the Phillies had some problems with the Brewers phenom, Rob Mizorowski getting...
Jacob Mizorowski.
Jacob Mizorowski getting getting an invitation to the All-Star game. And I got to say this, because this kid, I picked this kid up on in fantasy. Oh,
I didn't get him. I'm jealous.
No, I mean, Coop and I snagged him the minute he popped up there.
Yeah.
Who has a problem with him again, Chris?
So it was a couple of the Phillies, Castellanos.
Oh, here's Trey Turner called
Trey Turner
a joke.
First, yeah.
Because, again, his teammates, Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez...
Did not get picked. Right.
It's the All-Star game in the sense that the best players go there are people who have had the best season. It's whoever sells the most tickets or is put on the social media the most. That's essentially what it's turned into. Nick Castellanos said, it's turning into the Savannah Bananas. Major League Baseball is really just focusing on the most marketable players. So the fact that they can have somebody in the game that is going to basically blow out one inning and throw 103, 104... they're going to get more eyeballs on baseball. They're just going to think it's getting more popular.
Yeah, Nick doesn't. That's not the insult that Nick thinks it is, because the Savannah Bananas draw more in-person attendance than all of Major League Baseball. Yeah. You know, they're only behind the NFL, college football, and soccer at this point for attendance.
That's amazing,
like, Nick. That's not an insult.
Well, and I will say this too. It's not like Mizorowski's been. Is a flash in the pan so far. I know he hasn't done it very, very much.
He's made 5 starts.
I understand that, 5 starts is not nearly enough as somebody that's done it for an entire first half of a season. So I can understand in a way the Phillies, two players are caping for their teammate. But buzz matters.
Absolutely.
I mean, buzz matters. And I see 13 starts for a .194 over 83 innings is significant. And you see Sanchez is 19 games, 2.50. I mean, so I understand, again, the Phillies' point of view, those players, right? But you're not wrong. The Savannah Bananas, I will say this, just to play both sides of this in a way, because those numbers are remarkable. And you got a kid who's only done it for 5 starts. Mm-hmm. But the Savannah Bananas, I think, do more to promote baseball and the love of the game of baseball to an age group and to a large cross-section of Americans who can hear about them than 98% of baseball players never speak to the media unless it's mandatory for them to speak. You know, again, I only know what we know. And we get managers who say yes, and a lot of baseball players are just like, yeah, I'm not doing media. I'm not calling into radio shows or Zooming into radio shows. I'm not Zooming in. I mean, you saw Pat did 2 hours at the All-Star game. We watched what Pat's up to, as always.
Yeah.
You know, and he's at the All-Star game. He had the commissioner, a Hall of Famer in CC Sabathia, and he had Jeff Passan. And then, thankfully for him and all of us, Aaron Judge showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd love to see Aaron Judge do more of this. Mm-hmm. And he's so amazing locally.
Yeah.
But for so many players, nationally, they don't talk. Like, every year, the NFL quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they will do one hit or two hits per season on a national radio talk show. You just got to talk. You got to get your game out.
Plus, they're in commercials.
Didn't Alex Bregman and Christian Yelich 1 year say that we're the young players and we're going to get the game out there? We're going to, our colleagues need to do more. Damn straight they do.
Alex said it on this show.
Yeah, he was here talking about a YouTube channel and getting all that stuff going. And that was years before.
And I'm not saying Mizorowski's doing media hits. I'm just saying that baseball does need to put buzz into their All-Star game. You know what I mean?
This was the same thing last year. We kind of had this same discussion about Paul Skenes. He was he didn't start the year on the roster. He was called up, and he was coming out dominating. And then it was like, well, should he be in the All-Star team? Then there was a late push in June to be like, he should start the All-Star game. Yep. He's the most famous, most buzzworthy young player in the game.
Correct.
And he's dominating. Oh yes, and he has a famous girlfriend, but like, this matters.
You got to cut through the static.
And he does, and he did, and so is Mizorowski right now.
You have to cut through the static. And if you, as a collective, baseball players, do not help cut through the static by putting your stuff out there, then when baseball says, we'll just cut through the static ourselves, or others decided, you know, by collectively voting for this kid to make it, I'm sorry. Like, that's what ends up happening. But I understand why they're caping for their teammates.
I get that, too. But the old head gatekeeping about this game, like, it's an exhibition.
Right.
Do you want to promote your sport or not?
Yeah, and you're right. The Savannah Bananas is not the...
No.
It's not the insult, Nick.
It's not the insult you think it is. Just look at college football stadiums being sold out for this sort of stuff. Oh, yeah. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk about it if you want. We got tomorrow's show, too, but we're taking a break right now. Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to come out here. Make sure that the elevators are all stopped.
Are we going to talk about this?
No. Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. coming up.
But you got to now.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I'm not referring to 1997. I'm referring to 2025. It's a new installment of the hit from back in the 90s, available in theaters nationwide this Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, Freddie Prinze Jr. here on the program. Great to see you. It's great, man. It's
yeah,
great,
man. The '90s got cool again, so it was good. We got to have a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, and like that bottle she was drinking in the clip. You guys are fine wine.
More fine wine.
Come on now.
Yeah, I can't drink like I used.
Plus,
to.
I love that. That's like a modern twist. There were no alarm types back in the 90s to say what zone is being infringed upon, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, like that we didn't have those back in 97.
You just had sound effects. That was it.
It's a nice little, modernized twist.
The director had a really cool vision with this movie. She pitched it to me early on before there was even a script. I knew we were friends, and she said, I know you don't want to do the movie, but let me just pitch you where I think these characters are at, and if you like that, I'll pitch you my idea. And I signed on before there was even a script. I liked the idea so much. So her name's Jennifer Caitlin Robinson. She wrote and directed this, and she just killed it, man. Just killed it.
So do all Jennifers in this have to have all three names?
If you don't say them, then okay. Sony gets incredibly upset, and I don't want to upset them.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is here. Let's not upset people. What You Did Last Summer is the new installment of that 1997 hit that is in theaters nationwide this Friday. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Check it out. And You love it, huh? You're liking what you're seeing?
Yeah, I never see my movies. I've only seen like two of them, and this was the third one. And I really, really liked it. I was so proud of it. Yeah. I was so grateful to be a part of this process and get to kind of introduce this new cast, which is so good. Like, they're so much better than I was when I was their age.
Come on.
It's not even, I'm telling you, I don't mind. I'm almost 50. I don't care.
Right.
But yeah, they're just wonderful, and I loved working with them. And young people make you hungry, and they inspire you. And it just, I loved working on this movie. I can't say enough good things about it.
So I have to ask, what other films of yours that you have actually seen?
I saw the original I Know What You Did about a year and a half ago. I had never seen that.
Get out of here.
Wow. I saw it for my, I do a, like a horror podcast, and I was like, well, I can't talk about it if I haven't seen it.
Right.
So yeah, so I finally sat down and watched it.
So you're talking about That Was Pretty Scary, which is
that's a little podcast that I do, yeah.
So you had not watched the original, if you will. No. Okay.
I haven't seen She's All That. I haven't seen any. Wow. I haven't
you
seen.
You have not seen She's All
no,
That?
No, I haven't seen Summer Catch. I haven't seen any of those.
Wow.
I know how to end. I read the script. So,
yeah, but don't you want to watch it back and see what it looks like?
I was there. I got a pretty good understanding of it, you know? Wow. I'd rather see a movie I'm not in that I don't know what's going to happen. And I, you know what I mean? It surprises me a little bit more.
So
I didn't watch Family Feud, Rich.
We lost that, TJ. So you saw the 1997 I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
The 2025 I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And I've seen this tiny little independent movie I made. It was the first movie I made. It was called The House of Yes with Parker Posey.
Okay.
And that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
And I only saw that because they made me go. It was at Sundance and I didn't when I was really nervous. I was like, I don't want to see myself act. And they were like, no, you have to go. You have no choice. And so...
Well, Summer Catch is the reason why we first met years
ago. That's right,
man.
That's right.
Because we met years ago at the All-Star Game in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I hit a grounder that dribbled about 6 feet, and I had to hustle out to first base. And then
this was in the celebrity softball game.
This was in the celebrity softball game, and that was a humiliating swing. But in my defense, I had never swung at a softball in my life.
It was the first softball swing in your life.
It was the first pitch I saw, and I was just like, swing as hard as you can.
Do you remember who was pitching?
I can't remember who it was, man. I know they had the bad guys had Goose Gossage on their team. We were the good guys, obviously.
Of course, you understood.
And I think they had Jenny Finch on their team, but it wasn't Jenny that pitched to me. I can't remember who. It was Meatloaf. Meatloaf pitched to me and I got a dribbler off the bat and I ran it out.
So you were safe.
I was safe. Yeah, okay. I was safe. But it was not a strong swing.
So did you go 2 for 3 off of Meatloaf? Because that wouldn't be bad.
No.
Rich.
Because that ain't bad.
No.
You know what I mean?
Meatloaf. Yeah, he was
good old Meatloaf.
Yeah, they pulled him after the second, I think, and to get other pitchers in there, not because he wasn't performing.
Kenny Mayne had a quick hook? Because I think he was the manager. Was he the manager?
I think so, yeah.
Because I was the sideline reporter for ESPN's coverage, the only way you could put it, the coverage of the celebrity softball game.
Highly anticipated celebrity
softball.
And
the thing that I remember from that is Don Mattingly was one of the coaches
as well.
And I had... You know, that's my guy growing up.
Yeah.
That was my guy.
No, Donnie Baseball was the man.
Donnie Baseball. I've embarrassed myself multiple times in front of him.
Nah, man, he's super nice and super cool. He wouldn't need a heating.
No, it's just, because he didn't.
You're like, no, I embarrassed myself.
No, I totally. I wasn't there.
I take it back.
I have done that. Okay, so that's pretty cool. Like, and that was because of Summer Catch, right?
That was Summer Catch, man. We had a blast making that movie. It was this little baseball movie that was trying to get made, and I read the script, and I really liked it. And the director and I got along, and then we just got to cast a bunch of people that, you know, some of which I'm still friendly with to this day.
Jessica
Biel
was in that.
Jessie was my love interest in that one. She was amazing, or Jessica as she's called. But Jessie, that was back then.
Yes.
Super cool, awesome chick. And Matt Lillard was in that. Wilmer Valderrama was in that. Christian Kane was in. We had a really fun, cool cast, man. Everybody, we were playing baseball and getting paid to do it, and we weren't professionals, so there was zero pressure on us.
Right.
It was the best.
Did you have to, you know, take lessons or something?
We trained. I had to learn how to pitch for like a month and a half before the movie started. And then I remember there was one day I had to throw 140 some odd pitches.
Ooh.
In one day, and it's like spread out over the day, so your arm at the end of that is just dead. And the next day they go, hey, we missed some shots yesterday, we need you to throw again. I was like, that it's not gonna happen, like my arm doesn't work. And they're like, all we need is the motion. I was like, the ball's gonna fall out like Mr. Smithers on The Simpsons when he throws out the first pitch, man. And like, we won't show that part, I swear. So I threw it and it was a Smithers pitch, and thank God that didn't get in the movie. Just the good pitches did. But yeah, I thought my arm was gonna fall off.
Anybody that we might know who was coaching you up or that you were around?
So long ago. I had to look up the names of these movies so I could be prepared today, because I don't remember the names of them.
You don't watch them back? back, man.
I don't, and I don't know. And I don't read title pages either. I open the script and just start reading, so I never know amazing. The name.
What a way to go it's through it!
I never know the names of the movies.
So cool.
I met a kid at the grocery store who was sacking up groceries, and he knew everything about Summer Catch. And at first, I was like, "Oh, the baseball." And my daughter's like, "It's called Summer Catch." I was like, oh, "Yes,
come on."
But he knew the number. He knew my character's name. He knew the dad's name, Fred Ward, great actor. He passed on, but great character actor.
Yes.
He used to be a club fighter before he was an actor, man. So he knows how to box too. He was a great dude. Remo Williams, if you haven't seen it, that was an awesome movie. Tremors, obviously. But yeah, she had to remind me the name of the movie, and this dude knew everything about it. She was like, "Dad, you have to know the names of your movies."
But the big one was obviously I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know What You Did,
right?
And She's All That were the two big ones. What You Did opened the door and gave me the opportunity for every other movie I got.
Right. So how did you get that one? Like, walk me through the original.
I auditioned 5 times. I was not the first choice, and I thought I was going to get fired every single day for the first 3 to 4 weeks of that movie, and then had this like realization where I was like, well, they'd pretty much have to reshoot the whole movie now if they fired me, so I think I'm good. Like 2 weeks left of production, and I was very confident going to work the final 2 weeks. But before that, I thought I was gonna get canned. I was the least experienced of all those actors. They were all child actors. I had just started. I had one movie under my belt. They had 20 jobs under their belts. They'd been doing it since they were 4. I had been doing it for 8 months.
Dude.
So it was nervous. Oh, look at those cuties.
Wow. Those kids.
See? Killing pretty people. That's what every good horror movie's about.
I mean, what's Ryan doing with your lady, man?
Hey, man, they were in love, man. You got to just let it be.
Okay. Understood. All right. And so you just look. What do you think of when you see this photograph, dude?
I don't have brown hair anymore.
Understood.
I have a beard that's also gray. And my hip hurts. That's about like sitting like
I'm not saying what you're thinking now.
Sitting like that in that position now would be absolutely impossible for me to accomplish.
That is so funny. Yeah, you need to help up.
Yes, I do.
But I mean, so then all right, so then let's show another picture here. This is from the premiere of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Look at that awesome hair.
Look at the frosted tips, man.
Yeah, look at that, man. Lid. It takes guts to rock hair like that back in the day. Nowadays, everybody looks like that. But back then, nobody did that. And by the way, before you talk smack, I brought 2 girls to that premiere.
Attaboy.
So the hair wasn't that bad. It was cool for back then.
Let me just say this.
horrible to look
at. As a full-fledged member currently of the Bald Brotherhood, I must ask, though, what preparation was required? You can't just stroll out of bed like this, right?
No. I think
what do we got here?
Probably went to the hair shop that day. Shop? The hair shop?
Yes. Yeah.
The hair shop, as we called it back then.
The hair shop.
And the hairstylist cut my hair and did it that day. And I didn't want it to go all the way down, so she just made it so that the tips were purple that. Because purple, I said Joker purple, I think is what I told her.
Yes.
And that's what she gave me, man. That's what she gave me. Yeah.
Look at you.
2 girls.
Two. He caught that one.
Two.
TJ
two.
Caught that one.
Utah.
All right.
That's right.
Give him 2. So then we'll recycle to the present day here. She's All That, 1999.
Yeah,
so
man.
You've gotten 2... I Know What You Did Last Summer films under your belt.
Yeah.
And She's All That. You probably got that off of the first movie,
off
right?
Off the first one, yeah.
Right.
Off the first. The success of the first one opened the door for She's All That. She's All That was the first movie I ever got offered that I didn't have to audition for. And it was me, and there's Rachel. She's still one of my best friends to this day. We're making another movie together in November for the first time since She's All That. But yeah, man, that was... I have such great memories of that movie, man. Between... meeting Dulé, who was at my wedding, Paul Walker, rest in peace. We would talk jiu-jitsu all the time and cars. I collect old Japanese cars. He liked cars too. And we bonded on that. Jody Lynn O'Keefe, who played my like mean, snotty, popular girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, I guess, in the movie. Like the whole cast. I'm still friends with Kevin Pollak. He played Rachel's dad.
Yeah.
Like he was a big fan of my father's from back in the day. So that's how him and I bonded. And we still work together on movies to this day. We just did one like a year and a half, 2 years ago together. So yeah, man, just great memories. Great director, Rob Iskov. Tons of fun to work with. real safe environment, man. It was just awesome.
Usher as well.
Oh, that's right. Usher was Little Kim was in the movie, and she would show up in a limousine with like 20 people that would all get out before her. And you could tell she just wanted to go solo. Like she wasn't about the entourage, but they were about her, right?
Yes.
And so she had like security everywhere, these huge dudes that were all protecting her. And I was in love with Loka. I thought she was the coolest chick ever. So I hung out with her a lot when we were making that movie and got to see her at the premiere. But I love Lil' Kim, man. But yeah, I remember the first day she pulled up in a limousine, and I must have seen 12 dudes get out of the car before she did. I was like, yo, how do all these people feel like a clown car? Yeah,
that's what it looked like to you. And so you got any good Usher stories? Anything from that?
No, I didn't really get to work with Usher, man. I just got to meet him and shake hands with him, and I didn't have a crush on him like I did Lil' Kim.
Understood?
But understood. Yeah, he was super nice, man. We just didn't get to hang out much. He played the DJ, came in for a day. I think he was touring. It was just nice enough to help us out that day.
Freddie Prinze Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show, again, in advance of the new installment of I Know What You Did Last Summer in theaters nationwide this very Friday, Wrestling with Freddie.
Yeah, man.
Is a passion of yours.
My secret passion, yeah.
Clearly. TJ Jefferson has, along with O'Shea Jackson Jr., a no contest wrestling podcast.
So, that's all. I know O'Shea as well, man. He's a good dude.
He is that.
He should be coming here in a minute.
I was about to say you might see him on your way out the door
because
they're about to record their latest episode. What got you into wrestling?
When I was a kid, my grandmother was from Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And in Puerto Rico, wrestling was still real. They believed everything. And so she would show me these matches on TV with Ric Flair and Andre the Giant and all these like old school matches that she would videotape over the years. And she took me to a match in Puerto Rico, and they started building this cage around the ring. Nowadays they lower it, but this was low budget, so they're just building the cage around the ring.
Yeah.
And I remember asking her, I said, oh, is this a steel cage match? And she said, no, this is just how it is in Puerto Rico. And I said, why? She goes, that cage is there to keep the fans out in case the wrong guy wins. And I was like, what? And then all of a sudden it started happening, and like the bad guys would come out, and the fans were throwing pennies at them and rocks and all that. And I was like, yo, Grandma, he could really get hurt. She goes, yeah. they get hurt every time they wrestle here. Yeah. And so to me, it was so real and awesome. And I got to watch Lucha Libre, which is the masked wrestlers, the luchadors.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was so much fun and so cool. So that's what got me into it. And I started going to shows after that. I would drag my mom and make her take me. And then my godfather, who was Bob Wall, he was in all the Bruce Lee movies. He would take me, and all the wrestlers would nerd out on him because they were all Bruce Lee fans. So I got like a lot of love from those wrestlers. And then I eventually took a job and worked for WWF or E, and was writing what the wrestlers were going to say and became like an acting coach.
No kidding.
I swear to God, like I had stopped acting and was just bored and took this weird job, and all of a sudden was giving acting notes to like 7-foot dudes who would like come back from doing their monologue out. So they call it a promo, but it's just a monologue, a speech. They'd come back and be like, did I do a good job? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, bro. Yeah. way to go.
Big show.
It was, yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, it was a blast, and I still love it to this day. My kids watching now, so we watch together and just have fun.
Whose material did you provide that you were the most proud of? That you got, okay, that was a great
day. There was this dude named Jeff Hardy, and everybody really believed in him, but he had never gotten a real shot at the world title. And I was responsible for writing that storyline, and I directed some of them too, but mainly wrote all the dialogue and the story that kind of took him to winning his first world championship.
And that was an amazing moment.
Yeah,
Jeff,
it was cool. Fans really dug it, man. Yeah. Fans dug it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy behind you is an encyclopedia.
No, he's got my back right now. I know.
Literally.
He does. Yeah, man.
I know.
Wrestling nerds take care of one another.
Right.
Seth Rollins is going to sit in this chair on Wednesday and Thursday. He's hosting the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's going to do that.
He's one of the best in the world right now.
He is indeed. And hopefully he's as healthy as it can be right now.
Yeah, that knee, man. It didn't look good.
It did not look that great. No. I guess he's still coming here Wednesday.
No, he's a tough son of a gun.
He'll be here for sure. I Know What You Did Last Summer is a new installment in theaters nationwide this Friday. Here's the very important bar that needs to be met here is if nobody in the cast finds their future wife, this can't be as good of a movie.
I totally agree. I mean, that's science.
Am I right?
It's scientific. Yeah, it's scientific.
You know what I mean?
Like, but be friends first. That's my advice. Be friends first.
Okay.
Then get married.
Well, I was friends with my wife,
see?
22 years later, we still are.
Yeah, that's about the same time for us.
I was friends with her for 3 years But
it's almost the exact same amount of time.
Yeah, Serena, but yeah. Not because I wanted to be.
You were just working on her for 3 years. Working on it.
I mean, that's one way to put it.
Laying down bait. Laying down bait. See if she takes it.
Yes. TJ, I won the Heisman Trophy three years in a row. She was just 1997, 98, and 99 are all trophies that they can't take away from me.
That's right.
So that's what you were just friends for 3 years?
We were friends for a couple years first, and then we went out to dinner one night, and there was supposed to be three of us. It ended up just being her and I, and it just sort of organically turned into a date. All of a sudden, I was like, yo, she's hot. And then she was kind of looking at me, and I was like, I never thought that before.
This was after doing the movie? Really?
Yeah, and then we had a little kiss by the beach, and...
Oh. So now I'm putting it all together from this, and we don't usually talk personal life, but, I mean, but, you know, you are still married to Sarah Michelle Gellar, which is great. Thus, in between meeting her... And then dating her, that's where the two ladies that you brought to the premiere of the sequel.
They better have been.
I'm piecing it all together.
There you go.
The timeline and how it all works out.
It worked out.
Very happy ending.
It worked out.
Yeah, so I mean, again, whoever is in this film, you know, let's see if we can make a rough connection.
The premiere is tonight, so I'll see if I can't get some sparks going with some of the cast.
You know what I mean?
Play
a little Cupid.
Yeah, Cupid. I'll bring a bow and arrow and everything. Yeah. That's right.
Then we'll know what you did. You know, this summer.
That's right.
See what I did? I can't turn it off. I'm sorry. Wrestling with Freddie is a very popular podcast. You get it wherever you get your podcasts. And then that was pretty scary. Freddie Prinze Jr. and John Lee Brody.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. Together?
Yeah, he's like some people know wrestling, like everything about it. That's him with horror movies. He's like,
no kidding.
You literally like open the encyclopedia and it's him.
Okay. Yeah. So what would he say outside of your film is his favorite?
Probably
horror movie.
Probably Slumber Party Massacre Part 2, which is a B movie, and the killer uses an electric guitar with a drill on the end of it to kill people.
Right.
That's one of his favorites, and it's one of those that's so bad. It's like a bulldog so ugly it's cute. It's one of those movies that's so bad it's great. And we have a lot of fun watching that kind of stuff.
Okay, very good. So it's not just movies that we've all seen.
No, he tries to find, he's kind of manages our library of Congress there, so to speak, and it's every horror movie in the world.
So then before I let you go, what do you think makes for a perfect horror movie?
Characters you care about, mm-hmm. and 3 to 4 great set pieces, where like if a set piece would be like Jaws taking down the girl in the beginning of the movie, right? Jaws getting the captain. Sorry for spoiling Jaws, by the way.
It's 50-50. Don't worry about it.
So little things like that. Movies with great set pieces and characters that you're willing to follow and that you can relate to. That's the two tricks.
Because you don't want them to get got. You don't want them to get on the edge of your seat.
It's why when Sarah's character died in the first one, people went bananas because she gave hope like a horror movie had never given hope before. Mm. And this character, her name was Helen Shivers, and she's a coward, and she's ruled by cowardice more than Shaggy and Scooby ever were. Like, she can't make a good decision. And finally, she's running away and falls out this window. Great stunt work, by the way, and the director did a great job shooting this, and so did the DP and the stunt coordinator. Everyone does an awesome job. And she sees the fireworks, and she's going to make it to the parade, and she's going to be safe, and she's running, and there's the fisherman. And instead of running more, she says, you know what? I'm going to fight. And the whole crowd's like, yes, finally, Buffy's going to kick ass. And her reward is death. And the whole crowd is just like, oh, my God. And they're just vomiting. And they can't deal with it because it's too real for them, man. That's what makes horror movies great, are scenes like that.
Vomiting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important
vomiting
to get
emotion. Emotional
you know,
vomiting.
I mean, you know, also... But what if you see it coming, right?
Like, because
the number of times that I will watch a horror movie, I'm like, really? Like, you don't see this coming? Like,
yeah, it's the classic, don't go in that room.
Like, let's not do that. All right. Well, I know what you did last summer. Again, the new installment available in theaters nationwide. I don't know if you have to run out, but I've just been told O'Shea just
is he here? I love O'Shea, man. I want to see him no matter what.
Second chair, and we just
I have a little bit of time. I have to go to get ready for the premiere and all that good stuff. So we got a little bit of time.
A couple minutes. Is that fine?
We got a little bit of time.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I love O'Shea.
Okay, great, terrific. If you don't mind, I just threw that one out there.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
We're gonna make it work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
One thing I love about you, Steve, is when you host Family Feud, you get you realize that there's a moment that is happening and you make a meal out of it. Like, you as a host know we got to stop here and we have to acknowledge just how insane this moment just is right now. And one of my favorite ones just like that involves Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings when he was playing for the Fast Money, and it was leave it blank, and he said in, and the whole place went absolutely nuts. And you just stepped away.
Yeah.
And just made an absolute 5-course meal out of that.
Because we have to drink this moment.
Yeah.
See, sir, I don't see Stephon Diggs. Look, man, if you got your helmet on you, your number, we all know who you are. Once he takes the helmet off, right, we got to kind of figure who that is. So he didn't have his helmet on. I wanted him to be YouTube famous for the rest of his life. Because what's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker,
strip sack.
Could be even strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we can edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Fun stuff back in the day with Steve Harvey. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're in the Roku Channel studios right now. Look who's joined. Freddie Prinze Jr. is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
That's right. Junior's for everybody.
Junior's for everybody.
That's right.
Our junior cup is runneth over.
That's right. Taking the seats over.
And one of the hosts of No Contest Wrestling, the other one is in the corner with TJ Jefferson, O'Shea Jackson Jr., and the host of Wrestling with Freddie.
We're talked. We're going to do each other's podcasts.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do the podcast thing.
You can do home and home.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
man.
Rubbing elbows.
Well, I've known him for a while. We've known each other a little bit outside of this, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, we've hosted a few radio shows
together.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, back in the day we did.
I did. Which
are we
which
allowed to even say?
I mean, I'm going to say Mason and Ireland.
5 minutes to go in the show, and we figured to leave Freddie Prinze Jr. here if he was so kind, and he is, and O'Shea Jackson Jr. here is as well.
I brought you some gifts, man.
What'd you bring?
Well, I got to give one to Freddie, but I know, you know, here's a Ice Cube bobblehead. Ice Cube bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium. And Rich, I know how much you loved that World Series.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make sure that you had one for your
destiny. This is tremendous.
And I do have one for my Boston Red Sox.
I'll take it.
And, of course, my New York Met. And
yes,
my Dodger fan right there.
That's
my
go-to
right.
Folks. Get out of here.
That's right.
That's right. Fifth inning, everybody. Today fifth inning.
A good day.
Yes.
Freddie, have you ever played in one of those celebrity Dodgers games too?
You know, they changed it years ago from baseball to softball.
Okay.
And I begged them to change it back to baseball. That was one of the unique things, and they refused to do it. And so I told you about my softball experience, and I'm not very good at it. So no. When they change it back to baseball, call me.
So basically,
Take a stand.
When it comes to celebrity games, you're a purist.
A purist, yeah, absolutely.
Purist.
Well, it used to be that, and they changed it. Why? To make it easier? Honestly, it's made it harder for me. So that was I'm not striking out.
I'm just glad that you stuck around. I got my juniors here, my podcasters, wrestling podcasters right here.
It's tough being a junior, and we both made it, man. It's tough. It's rough, man.
Dude.
It's like you're a statue built to honor that which walked before you, and you don't even have a name a lot of times. It'll just be called Junior or June or Junie or Junebug.
I can't even, if it's too sunny, they call me my dad. If I'm out there like this, frowning throughout the day. They're just, you know, I've taken so many pictures with people
frowning.
And they think that I'm him. Uh-huh. They'll find out in the car, but at the time, I'm going to take a picture.
They'll find out in the car.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, yeah, man.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's right, man. I'm aging great. Don't worry about it.
you are. You certainly are. So that'll be great. So tonight, I know what you did last summer, which is available in theaters tomorrow. You've got the premiere tonight, huh?
Yes, sir. Premiere's
red
tonight.
Red carpet, everything like that?
All the fancy stuff that makes me super nervous and uncomfortable. But but you just kind of astral project yourself to somewhere comfortable like Hawaii and then just walk your way through.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and just the one date tonight.
Yeah, just the one. Trying to keep that date.
Yeah, fantastic. And the hair looks perfect.
Oh,
for
thanks,
the whole
man.
Thing.
No purple tips.
Thank you for coming on here. I really appreciate you staying here. And O'Shea, you have to stay because you have to.
Absolutely. I'm an employee.
You got work.
Yeah, man.
Employee.
He's no parking space yet. I can't help but bring that up.
We're working. We're working on
okay.
it.
Okay.
I gotcha.
I'll Uber.
Well, you know what? You're here, and I appreciate that. Congrats on the movie, and thanks for coming down.
No, it's my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Everyone, again, check out I Know What You Did Last Summer, available
on Breakfast Show
Nationwide this Friday. Yes. Back to wrap it up with O'Shea Jackson Jr. coming up.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.